Well, I wonder if anybody here this morning has been invited recently to some special celebration, maybe a party, anything like that. Anybody been invited to anything recently? Special event, yeah, what were you invited to? Friday evening parties. So that was that fun? Good weather? Excellent. Anybody else been invited to anything recently? Of course. Indeed, time of the high school proms. Don't we all know it? And yes, I suppose you get invited to those, don't you? You need to respond to the invitation. Anybody else been invited? Some people here been invited, especially this morning, for Lily's baptism and the party there. I had a friend. I have a friend in Beverley who a few weeks ago was invited to a Buckingham Palace garden party. Amazing. She was very, very surprised to get invited. She got a letter. But to be able to appreciate the garden party and go there and be with members of the royal family, she had to reply to the letter. And of course, that's the thing about invitations to special events, isn't it? You have to respond. You have to say that you want to go and that you are going to go. To appreciate the party, you must accept the invitation. Well, I wonder if people can recognise some of these people I've got going to put up here on the screen, because these people have all been connected with something in the last few days where they have been invited to something or have themselves invited somebody else. I wonder if anybody knows anything about these. Now, what about this one? Does anybody know what's behind this one? Who is it to start with? Who are they? Simon Cowell and Cheryl Cole. Now, why? What's been going on there? Anybody know about that? There's a clue. If you can just read the top, it says, thanks, but no thanks. Apparently, it's Cheryl Cole's 30th birthday. She's been around a long time. She's only 30 anyway. But she decided that despite all that's happened, she would invite Simon Cowell to this exclusive Las Vegas 30th birthday party. But did Simon want to go? No. He said he didn't want to go. Terrible. There you are. There's Simon Cowell and Cheryl Cole. What about these two here? Who are these two people? You see them? Serena Williams. And who's the other guy? I don't know. as if we don't know anybody yet. Now, why are these two people there? Well, apparently, someone had been on to Andy Murray and said, you ought to take on Serena Williams. And she picked this up as an invitation to have a tennis match with him. Did she say yes or no? She said she would. But she did say that she thinks she'd struggle to win even a game. Well, I don't know. But that's those two. Now, what about this one? It's a bit more difficult. Anybody know who that guy is? Alex Salmond, who's the First Minister of Scotland. And anybody know what the other picture is there? It's a golf course. It's actually Muirfield, where the Open Championship's going to be taking place week after next, I think it is. Well, Alex Salmond was invited to go to some special event to do with the Open Championship in Muirfield in Scotland. And did he say yes or no? Did he accept the invitation? He said no. Anybody know why? Exactly. Fergus knows this, being with his Scottish connections. Indeed, they won't let women be members of the club. So Alex Salmond said, no, I'm not going to go to your celebration. Now, where that Bible story that we had, that reading from Luke's Gospel, we hear invitations being given out to a party. And it's all about the vital importance of responding to an invitation. Now, we find Jesus on his way to the most important part of his life in Jerusalem. He's been teaching people about what those who are part of God's loving kingdom rule are like. And what we read in Luke chapter 14 finds Jesus himself at a party. He sat round a table, and there are various people there, including some high-up religious leaders. And Jesus has been teaching a few things, and picking up on some of the things that Jesus said, one of the guests shouts out, happy is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. It was the sort of thing that people said. You know, it was a kind of a blessing, the sort of thing that you'd say to people if you were in that kind of company. He was saying, how happy will those people be who will be at the banquet, the party that God is going to have in heaven? Well, Jesus takes this as an opportunity to tell a story. And the story shows us that there will be lots of surprises about who is at that party in heaven. Now, I need some people to give me a hand at this point. Who'd like to give us a hand? Anybody over there? Can you come and give us a hand? Come on, you two. You give us a hand. Come on. Come on, me. You'll help. Freddie, that's great. Come on. Anybody else? I need one or two other people. Can we give us a hand? Yeah? Come out to the front then. That's great. You want to give us a hand? No? Okay. Anybody else? Don't miss your chance. Here's your invitation. Right, if you come down here. Right, great. Okay. Now, what I want us to do to start with is to get this table, okay, and let's open the legs out, and can you just pull it towards you? That's great, okay, that's super. And what this is reminding us of is what it's like at a party. You know, you have lots of food. And at that, the story that Jesus was telling, he was saying that there was a man who was going to have a party. And so he got everything ready. Now, I want you just to mime out doing these things. He put a tablecloth on the table. See if you can do that. And he also started to make some food. So he kind of made some food. And it was all very, very tasty. And he started to think about what party games he might have that people might really enjoy. And he started to put up decorations on the wall and make it a really special occasion. And then he was ready. Now, in those days, if you got an invitation to a party, what happened was you got the invitation and then you had to say whether you wanted to go or not. It's a bit like when we send invitations, it says at the bottom, RSVP. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. Will you please tell me that you want to come? Please respond. And that's what happened. And then, when you'd said yes, just before the party actually happened, you would send out a servant, because it was probably only quite rich people who had parties like that in those days, and the servant would go and tell the people that the party was about to happen. Now, I want to just spread you folks a little bit around here. So if you two would like to just go and stand at just by the door there. See that door? That's great. And if you go and stand over there, yeah, and you go and stand over there. Okay, now what happened was that the man sent out his servant and he went to one of his friends and he knocked on the door and he said, now then, I'm going to have a party. It would be really great if you'd come. And do you know what the first person said? Things at work, you know, a bit stressful at the moment, can't come. Okay. So then he went and he knocked on somebody else's door and he said, now you're one of my friends, would you like to come to my party? And do you know what he said? He said, I'm just far too busy. I couldn't possibly fit in coming round on Friday night to your party. So he trudged off and he found some other friends and he knocked on their door and he said, are you going to come to my party? It'll be great fun. And do you know what they said? They said, I've got a lot on with the family at the moment. I just can't make it. So the servant, rather disappointed, trudged back and found his master. And he told him what had happened. And the master was very disappointed. He'd been looking forward to his party a lot, but nobody would come. But he thought, you know, I'm not going to give up. I'm not just going to sort of say, right, we're not having a party. We're going to find some people who are going to come to my party. We're going to have it anyway. And so he said to his servant, go out to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Go out to the highways and hedges and really encourage people, compel people to come to my great party. Now, then, shall we go and do that? You're going to be my servants now. You change role at the back. Daniel and Armand, if you want to come and help. And we're going to go try and encourage people to come to the party. You're going to come? So let's see if you can find anybody that you know and say, come on, let's go to the party. Some people over there, you can try it with them. Are you going to come and try and encourage people to come? Just all that you possibly do, get them to come down to the table. Anybody? Come on, are you going to come out? Come on, come on, you've got to come. You've got to come, it's going to be great. That's what he did. He went out and he encouraged as many people as he could. And at first the master said, well, look, that's great. I'm glad there are some people here. But you know, there's still space at my party. Are you going to come? There's still space at my party. And so the servant went out, even beyond the city limits, went to a different place where there was absolutely no chance that anybody would know the host of the party. But even those people were welcomed to come to the party. And they sat down and they had an absolutely brilliant time. Well, let's give our helpers a round of applause, shall we? Thank you very much. Now, what on earth was Jesus getting at when he told that story? What did it mean? Well, God is one who invites people to be with him in that great celebration that will be heaven. But we mustn't count our chickens before they've hatched and just assume that we're going to be there. We need to accept the invitation that God offers to us through Jesus. And we're going to think a little bit more about what that means in a moment. But first we're going to sing. So if you can turn back to your hymn books and to number 651. Number 651, it's a song about the kingdom of God and God's offer to us. Let's stand and sing number 651. Thinking about Jesus' story of the banquet. Remember the man who throws a party and invites lots of people to come. But it reminds us that God has an invitation to us as we hear his message explained. But you remember what happened in the story. How easy it is to make excuses. So we read that they all began to make excuses. The first said, "I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me." Another one said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and if I go and examine them, I need to be there with them. Please have me excused." And the third said, "I've just got married, and so I cannot come to your party." So if you think about it, the people were saying several things. One of them was, "I'm just too busy. There's too much going on in my life, and I can't be bothered about that party." And you know, we can make that sort of excuse when we think of the offer that God makes to us. We're just too busy to have time for God's invitation. The people in the parable were also saying something like this: there are other things that are more important. You know, there's just things in our lives that are more important than taking God's invitation seriously. And that can be true in our lives too. So work and relationships or family or leisure or money. We can make other things a priority, and that can mean that we don't take God up on the offer that he makes to us. And yet, you know, when you look at these excuses and you just spend a few moments thinking about them, none of them are really particularly good, because none of those things need stop anybody from going to God's party. They need to stop to the people in the story going to the party. And it's true with God's invitation. God has given us so many good things to enjoy in life. And yet we're not to put our hope in them for life because they don't last forever. But we do need to remember him, the one who has given us all these good things in the first place. So the sorts of excuses that people often make, like putting other things first, are not really very good at all when you stop and think about them. Now the story also points to help us to see that some people don't accept God's invitation for other reasons as well. And that seems to be particularly true of the people that Jesus was telling the story to in the first place. Some people think to themselves, I'm already good enough, thank you very much. I don't need your help. And it's possible even today in the 21st century for people to be like those religious people in the first century. We might think that we already have a place in heaven because basically we're pretty decent people. You know, we're upstanding members of the community. We do all sorts of things to help people. And it's good that we do. And we tend to think, though, that we're doing okay, partly because we compare ourselves to other people. So we think, I'm certainly doing a lot better than him or her who lives down my street. In our pride, you see, we think that we're better than we really are. But there's a great problem with that attitude. It means that actually in the end we can never get to heaven because Jesus is the way that we can get there. None of us can be good enough on our own. Jesus has been making it clear as he's taught and as recorded in Luke's gospel of the fact that so often we do prioritise other things rather than him, the God who loves us and has made us. And we also do think of ourselves with quite a measure of pride, thinking that we're pretty decent and good enough for God. Now, Jesus met a whole host of people, and he said to some of them that they needed their sins forgiven. He taught his friends to pray, forgive us our sins. See, what Jesus is talking about is this problem that we all have with God, a problem that separates us from God. It means that we cannot be with him in heaven, no matter how good or decent or indeed religious we are. So some people think, I'm already good enough, and therefore I don't need what God has to offer in Jesus. But there are some other people who think, we can't believe it's really for us. You know, we think that we're not good enough for God, and that's true, but that means that then we just don't think there's ever any possibility of the hope of being at that party in heaven. We're all too well aware of the fact that we have lots of failures. We've made mistakes. We perhaps feel we don't have the right connections or whatever it might be. Well, do you remember who those guests were who were invited when the friends didn't want to come? Jesus talks about the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Now, in those days, those kinds of people, there was no NHS, there was no kind of social security system to protect them and provide for them. There were basically people who knew that they couldn't get through life unless some other people somehow helped them. And so they're a picture of those who know that they need Jesus. Those who know that that's the only way that they can be at the party, through the help that Jesus can give. Just a little bit before he told the story, Jesus talked about the fact that he was on his way to Jerusalem and that when he was there, he was going to die on a cross before rising again. And it is in his death on the cross that that help that we most need is provided. Jesus died so that our problem with God could be dealt with and the way could be opened up again. Jesus sums up his whole reason for coming into the world just a little bit later after what we read. He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You see, he came to look for and to rescue those who know that they cannot rescue themselves. And that is great news for all of us, because actually that's true of all of us. So how do we accept this invitation? There's a sense in which, as we hear about Jesus, God is saying, he's tapping us on the shoulder and saying, look, this is for you. How are you going to respond? Well, we need to remember that none of us deserve an invitation. We've all turned away from God. We've treated him very badly. So we need to admit that that is true and tell God that we want the benefits of what Jesus did in his death on the cross to be true for us, that we might be forgiven, that we might be brought back into his family. We need to come to him and give ourselves to him, receiving the forgiveness that he makes possible and an adventure of living a life with and for him. And you know, that is true of little Lily, who was baptized a little bit earlier. She has, if you like, been invited in a special way by being baptized this morning. And she, like all of us, will need to make her own those things that were promised for her. To reject the devil and all rebellion against God. To turn away from, repent of sin, which separates us from God and our neighbour. And to turn to Christ, Saviour and Lord, the way, the truth and the life. But you know, there might be some people here who are thinking, well, you know, by God's kindness, he has enabled me to accept the invitation that he's offered. Well, if that's true of you, there's a reminder in the story here of the vital importance of the need of others to hear and respond. See, being in heaven is the most important thing because it's going to last forever. And the good news, therefore, is not something that's just a private hobby for those who already believe. We need to pass it on. We need to share it. And that means that we need to remember that we have a partnership with God and others to pass on that invitation to hear about the banquet in heaven. Well then, we're here this morning, we've heard these words of Jesus. There's a sense in which we're invited to party time. Come in and join the fun. Come and join the most important party that there will ever be. An invitation to that party in heaven. Well, how do you respond? Will you make excuses like those people in the story? Or will you receive what he has to offer? And if you have received it, will we work with Jesus to extend that offer to other people? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story. Some of us have heard it before. Perhaps there are others who've never heard it before. But we pray that the truth of it would work in our hearts and you would give us grace to respond to Jesus and to accept the good things that he offers. And we pray for his sake. Amen.